There. Good evening and welcome. This is Strong and Sassy on your superstation Joy 99.7 FM. My name is Enim Ado. And this show is on until 8 o'clock. So I have two lovely ladies joining us in the studio today. First one is like always here. So doesn't really need much of an introduction. Hello.
Hi.
You see, you don't even have to say your name. Everybody already knows who you are. But Aram.
Hi.
Hi, Aram.
Hi, Nimzi.
You good?
I'm very good. How are you?
I'm very, very good. Tonight, you have a challenger.
Yes.
Yes. So Aram has been.
Sure.
Aram has been. Like, we'll be doing the show and talking normally. No, then she will leave some French and things. Today we are hitting you with the slangs.
Ooh.
Yeah, you better wait for it.
Ooh.
All right, so first time on Strong and Sassy, very good friend of mine. I call her Frances, and then she's not Frances, it's Frances. So Frances Gardner, PMP. I know what that means.
Project management.
Oh, hey. Hey, all right. Please, you have an abbreviation after your name?
LLM.
What is LLM?
Law.
Hey. Masters.
It's not easy. Wow. Okay.
What's your abbreviation?
COG.
What is that?
Child of God.
Oh my God.
FBI. Oh yeah, aka FBI. AKA Wall Climber, WC.
Oh my.
Well, thank you, Lexis, for that. Anyway, Frances is joining us for the first time. Hi, Frances.
Hi, Limoa.
It's very nice to have you.
Thank you for having me.
So, Aram, finish the sentence for me. Oh. Of course, I'm a Ghanaian woman.
You can't summon me at any time you want.
Okay. So, which nationalities can you summon?
I don't know, but I'm not the one. Not the Ghanaian woman.
Frances, of course, I'm a Ghanaian woman.
I can cook jollof.
Ooh.
Yeah, that's true.
That's typical.
Most Ghanaian women can cook jollof, right?
Well, the Ghanaian jollof, not Nigerian jollof. Anyway, let's keep moving.
Well obviously. So joining us on the phone lines as well, Akuma Mama Zimbi. Hello. Hello, are you there?
Yes, I am.
Oh, I'm so sad that you're not in the studio with us yet, but it's good to have you on the phone.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so
much. And I apologize for that.
It's all right. It's all right. Thank you so much for joining us anyway.
Yes, please.
All right. So we're going to start the conversation. Aram, when, for you, I mean, we're all Ghanaian, right? But for you, when you hear a Ghanaian woman or the Ghanaian woman, if you had to describe the Ghanaian woman to somebody maybe who wasn't Ghanaian, or how would you describe us?
Hardworking. And then I would say the Ghanaian woman of the old and the Ghanaian woman today, they're two different women.
Okay.
So, but then across the board, I feel like they are very hardworking. They pride themselves in knowing their rights. But, and then the old ones were not so vocal about it, but then the new ones, they stand on business.
Okay.
When it comes to their rights. And of course, the jollof has to be banging.
Yeah.
I mean, everywhere you have to represent with
it's
your jollof.
It's quite rare to meet a Ghanaian woman who can't
cook jollof. Who can't cook?
Who can't cook generally? Yeah.
Yes, who can't cook so they can cook?
No, you can disagree. You disagree?
You disagree?
No, 100%. But let's just say 92%.
Mm. Okay.
Yeah, because there are some, maybe.
They choose not to cook, not they can't cook. Or okay. They can cook and it's not to standard.
Yeah.
It's not.
Yeah.
So the jollof is not crazy jollof. But yeah, thanks for the jollof.
It's like a killer. What's that? You know this rice dish that they make and their rice is not quite cooked and is runny. Pilla something. Okay, it'll come.
Paella.
Paella.
Paella,
yes.
Paella. It's Spanish, by the way.
Yeah.
Paella.
Yeah,
paella. Paella. The best place to eat it is definitely in Spain.
Of course.
We wouldn't know. We are in Ghana, so.
Yes. So, yeah.
So for you, that's it. Hardworking, knows how to cook. I know my rights.
Yes.
Basically.
I'll do Frances.
What do you think?
Strong.
Mm.
thanks to their parents or their grandparents who raised them most of the time, they, some of them, understand endurance as well.
The old ones.
The old ones. Mm. And those who were raised by the...
Not that I did not come to suffer squad.
Yes. Yeah, not the soft life people.
Well, I mean, that as well will come to the soft life part. But endurance, strong, hardworking, like she said. And majority of Ghanaian women know exactly what they want in their career path. Mm. So you know that I'm going to school, I want to be a doctor. Mm. And they see it through. That as well as when you're choosing a life partner, they're not rushing into it because they're making sure they're crossing their T's and dotting their I's.
Some of them.
Again,
some of them.
I don't, yeah.
Some.
Right. Okay.
An emphasis on the sum.
Yeah, because right now, I mean, people are getting married for all sorts of reasons.
Yes.
Yeah.
So, let's go to the phone line. Let's ask Akuma, what do you think are the things that are the good things or the things that identify Ghanaian women?
Yeah, hello.
Hello.
Yeah, your voice is a bit low. I didn't hear the question.
Oh, okay.
Properly.
I'm sorry. I was saying that we're discussing. So, if you had to tell somebody about the Ghanaian woman, what would you say?
Oh, wow. Wonderful. Good evening to our renowned listeners and also those watching on Facebook and also on YouTube. I would say I'm a proud Ghanaian woman. I think I heard somebody talking about jollof or something. So am I for the old or for the new? So that I know how to...
I think the jollof is across board.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So a proud Ghanaian woman who may be from the early 50s to 60s and 70s, they are very hardworking. There wasn't a lot of electronics when it comes to cooking. You know, when you need to, you were using the egg bowl, apotoyua, you know, the pot, and then there was no blender for us, so you grind your pepper, your onion, your tomato on the stone. I don't know if any of you have tried it before.
No, please.
Yes.
And
what
we
do
were
you mean
by the petrol,
oh, I have.
A dress to cover ourselves. We give respect to the elderly. When you're talking to an elderly person, your hands are your back. When you meet elderly people on the way in their home, their loads, you carry it. In those days, the tata buses, you stand up an elderly person to sit down. We are not showing off with our boyfriends. You know, you have to do it secretly till the family of the guy will come to your home and then announce. And then there you go, your mom will sit you down or your grandma will sit you down to teach you how womanhood is, how you need to serve your husband, how you need to cook, how you need to dress. You know, so the early mothers were really serving their husbands. Less complain. You can be with your rival in the same compound, three or three families in a house without quarrel. Your children will live together. You know, in harmony. And then you don't complain much. But, you know, as we grow and time are changing, then I know my right is in. It's just nice. It's good. Because one can say, within where you were born in. All right. So, things have changed. But we still give respect to the men. But it's not much like before.
That's such a good one. She said, we still give respect to the men, but it's not much like before. Why do you guys think? Why do you think that women are we generally more disrespectful? Not disrespectful, but less reverent.
I know my rights.
And I think it's because there is the dependency on the men is not as high as it used to be now. And so if I'm contributing to the household financially, then I have skin in the game. So I can't go to work from 8 to 5 and then you expect to come home to a freshly cooked meal. Yeah. And that is no disrespect. That's just saying, I've put in work for the day. Can I get some rest? On weekends, you can get a full platter of food. But today, you have to eat something from the freezer.
To add to that, it's the same as if a woman's working from home and a man's gone to work. He's going to come home expecting food on the table because you've been home. Forgetting that you've also done your 9 to 5.
Yeah.
Even though you've been,
I worked from home yesterday at 9 p.m. I was still looking at emails. If I was at work, I would have closed and come home.
Gone home, yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So I think, okay, so what you guys are saying is that the economic imbalance has balanced.
It's balancing coming.
It's balancing a little bit. So then maybe that's why we're not as respectful.
I don't think it's a respect thing.
I just feel like we're more vocal. And we are more demanding when it comes to the family setting. So you're saying that, okay, I'm contributing half of the child's school fees. I'm doing this, I'm doing that. So I can actually voice out what I want out of this. Whereas before, it's been done for you. So you just accept it. If you want your child to go to, let's just say GIS, and your husband can't afford it. But then now you're working so you can afford to pay half of GIS fees, then you can voice out what you want. As opposed to, you know, you wanting your child to go to Christ the King and he's the only one that can afford it
Well, that's very interesting. And then she also talks about the I Know My Rights squad. Mm-hmm. And the thing about I Know My Rights is that it's when women come across as strong and assertive and too known. So how have we maybe gone from, you know, being a society of women many years ago when we were more demure and all of that, or is that also an economic thing, do you think?
Yes, because the knowledge isn't just not in the making of the money, but it's also how we, so first, women weren't going to school. Our place was in the kitchen.
They're not exposed.
Exactly. And then we come into the space where now women went to school. So there was the era of the send your girl child to school. Yeah. So in that knowledge, we learned how to make money. We learned new things and learned that there is more to a woman than being in the kitchen. So now I'm out of the kitchen and I'm working enough to be able to hire somebody to replace me in the kitchen.
But do you guys, based on what you're saying, do you guys still think, regardless of how much we move forward, there's still an element of can you cook as the identity of the Ghanaian woman? Because if you're dating someone, you know, that his mom will always ask, you know, or, you know, one way or another, can you cook? Or he'll say, oh, you know, yeah, but I want to eat your food. But I want to taste your...
And like back in the days, you'd go into a home where you have to cook for them. It's part of the audition for a wife.
Oh, wow, really?
Yeah. You have to cook for your...
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yes. There are places where you have to cook. You'd probably go and stay with your mother-in-law for some time. See if you can do house chores and stuff before they marry you. So it's, you are auditioning as a wife, but now we don't audition. And then I was telling someone recently that and then somebody who's come and say, oh, we saw some flower in your house that we want to pluck. We're not doing that anymore. We are going out there and meeting people and weighing them and then coming to present them. Back in the days, they used to do a background check on your family and his family. Mm-hmm. Now we're not doing that. That's how you marry somebody and realize tomorrow that he has a wife somewhere because they did not do a background check.
Wow. Akuma, I heard you trying to chip in.
My lovely lady, yes, please. My lovely lady, all that they are saying is right. But, you know, in the olden days, because they were looking at us that your woman's own is the kitchen, we actually knew how to cook well. And then we were not able to voice out much. You know, the man would take you to the farm and you are doing all the hard work. But when education started, we saw that, oh, I can also bring in the money. But the disrespect now is too much. And then we said, I'm working for the money. So majority, I heard one of the ladies saying that when it comes to cooking, it's a problem. Yes, it's a problem. And then we don't actually study the guys well before we accept their proposal. And then we don't even know the woman's family well, the guy's family well. They bring friends to just hand in as relatives. And then there's a whole lot of problems. Now, education is key. Now, we all, it's 50-50. You will pay the rent, I'll pay the water bills and the cabbage, I'll pay some school fees, you do this and that. But if some women are not actually respecting the men, and they think, oh, now I can go to Facebook, Google how to do palm soup, and then I will learn it. But some are not even learning that. They rather go for caterers to do all the meals for them, and then they put in the fridge, and it becomes a problem. If you are not lucky, and you get a man who was brought up by an old lady, he will tell you, "Me person me di ampesie, but di ampesie ano man te di ampesie," and that's where the problem comes. You know, in the olden days, there wasn't that diseases and things, but they were preserving their food with charcoal. By covering or putting the food, it depends if it's a soup or porridge or something, you get a big bowl with water and you dip it in. We're preserving our milk in water. See that, you understand? So, in those days, we were preserving food. But all that I'm saying is, education is good. Now we know our rights. But let's, the Ghanaian woman is gone. You see, we are seeing much of us like foreigners. Like in Ghana man that we are, how many women do you see them dressing with jeans, you know, or be in our tradition, wears, or our local? No, it's not happening. So the Ghanaian woman is not seen 100%. I see 30%. And 70% is gone into other countries' world. Okay? And even in our homes, how many people prepare garri potto, our local food, or do potom potom, or do yake yake, you know, or so. There's no time. We just have to make time and let our children know all this. You get what I'm saying? Education is the key. But it's like we've forgotten where we came from. And we are taking the foreign line, their foods, their dressing, their languages. And it's like, what? If you say, I will say. So the real olden love is no more there.
Go ahead. You want to say that?
Yeah. I was going to say something.
You know what I'm saying? All that they are saying is right, but there should be moderation in everything.
Okay.
Hand go, hand come. But if you tend to know more, that man will run and leave you and go for a quiet woman.
True.
That's what is happening. Now.
True. Right, okay. So what do you guys think?
I mean, I see where she's coming from. Mm-hmm. I agree with her. I'm going to compare us to our best friends, the Nigerians, in the sense that the Nigerian, regardless of where they see you, an adult, they're going to prostrate. They're definitely going to do.
They're not going to.
But in the West, I've seen my Ghanaian, even myself, when I see my friends' mothers, it's either I'm hugging you or I'm waving. You know, I don't curtsy like we were taught to do back in the day.
Ma, good morning.
Yeah. And it's auntie, you know, and then, I mean, auntie is the best thing. But Nigerians will call you mummy, big mummy, whatnot. So I kind of understand where she's coming from. Have we lost it completely? Some will say yes.
Almost.
Yes. Because and we're very vocal.
Yeah. And it also depends on how we were raised, right? And then how people are now raising their kids. And so if I am very proud of being someone who was raised by the village, when I say the village, literally my aunties, my uncles, I bounced around the family house. I lived in my family house. So you have all that input. And then, but we've even veered away from that extended family system to now it's just you, your siblings and
your parents. So the nuclear family.
So the nuclear family. So there is that. That's where we're losing it. So even if where people travel outside the country, for example, if I travel outside the country, start raising my kids outside the country, it's gonna, unless maybe my mother inputs in that, in raising my kids, then they're going to completely lose the old tradition or culture of way of doing things. And so if I don't remember to inculcate that into them, it's gonna be a problem. And then another thing we're also losing is probably our language. So now people are having kids who can't speak. You see somebody called Kekeli, that cannot speak one bit of Ewe. Mm-hmm. You see someone called Amuzu that can't speak one bit of Ewe. And you're thinking, who raised you?
But also, you have the kids to say, my mother is Ghanaian. Where are you from? My mother is Ghanaian. They're not from Ghana. It's them. Their mother's from Ghana. Oh, I'm English. My mother's Ghanaian. So they've lost that.
I mean, but then that's also for those who are not, well, fully Ghanaian, or those who are not being raised here.
No, even the full Ghanaians say it.
Who are raised here, live
here. Well, not raised here, yeah, but yeah.
Exactly. Obviously, so. How are you going to be raised here and say that your mother is
Ghanaian? Your mother is Ghanaian. But, okay, so anyway, we're live and interactive. We're on Facebook, and then obviously our phone lines are opened, as always. Text line 055-111-1997. So tell us what you think about the Ghanaian woman and what she should be. And what she is and what she thinks she should be. Aram, mm-hmm. You know, you were talking about... no, actually, it wasn't you. It was Akuma who was talking about, you know, the cooking and the processes. But I think, have we moved into a culture of convenience now?
Absolutely.
You're going to make, like, a big pot of banku on Saturday, mm-hmm. and it's going to go into the fridge.
Yeah.
You know, and then you're going to make whatever it is, you're going to put them away. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're working and you have children, then you're going to get outsourced. You know, make the chicken stew, fish stew, Does that mean that you've lost your essence? Isn't the art of delegation part of the essence? Knowing which caterer, you know, to call and all of that? Because it's still Ghanaian food coming into your home.
Yeah. And you see, it's also the time. And we are in the era where we're trying to tell people to balance, you know, work-life balance, self-care, and all these things.
Wellness.
And your mental health, you know.
So obviously you're not going to be doing
you
all
have
these
to,
things.
And you have to spend... And don't forget, you see, back then, the woman was at home 24/7. So it makes sense to do that. And even full-time housewives will tell you that it's not given. Even the housewife is not given.
Yeah.
She needs help.
Yeah,
you understand?
Yeah.
So imagine having three... Sorry to cut you. Mm-hmm. Imagine having three kids. Mm-hmm. And on a Saturday, they all have activities. One's got tennis here, piano there. That the husband's taking one child to football.
Mm-hmm.
You have two other kids that need to be somewhere. You don't have the time to do it.
And then you still have to take care of these people and cook.
Mm-hmm.
And we're just limited it to cooking. There's cleaning. There's washing.
There's organizing stuff.
There's homework. Yeah. There's organizing stuff.
And going to activities.
Exactly. And then if we even bring it to the workspace, there are some places that have childcare if you're working with a good organization. There are others that don't. So there are women who probably have to close at 5, or some who, if their boss will allow them, close at 4. They have to go and pick their kids because the man is working late and someone has to take them home, make sure they eat, bath, do their homework, and do it again.
So it looks as if the main thing that is kind of like attacking the culture of the Ghanaian woman is the fact that Ghanaian women are working more now.
Yes,
and back in the day you had help. You had your grandmother there.
You can take them to the family house.
Yeah, you had help.
But now
we don't have that. Well,
your family house doesn't even exist. Well, some people don't even know their family houses.
No, that's true.
And if you bring a nanny in, and the nanny's lost your child, you've just lost that.
Yeah.
They don't last.
Yeah, so there's that. Okay, so now let's talk about another aspect, which is how we dress. So Ghanaian women, how we used to dress, how we dress now.
Akuma
mentioned dressing has changed totally. In fact, you see, it is good to get somebody doing something for you, but there's a thing that practice makes man perfect. Just last week, during the Christmas, I had to visit a friend. It's like a family friend. So when I got there, all the kids were home. And then the mother, because I was there, she took some oranges and wanted to do some oranges. Then the elder daughter, who is about 8 years, came and said, "Mommy, no. Let Refia, the house help, do it. When she does it, it's more nicer than when you do it." Forgotten that I was a visitor, although they were conversing with me. The girl just said it in front like that. Right away, you know, it means your mom don't know even how to do common squeezing of oranges. Maybe the house have added something to it. You understand? I am a very busy person. Once a while, I have a caterer. I ask her to do one or two for me. But let the children have mommy's touch or something. Hey, I want mommy does this. It's super. You know, so you are always on their mind. That when mommy prepares this, it's super. I want you to do this for us. But these days, it is not there.
Yeah.
Why is it part of me? The girl, 8 years, told to the man face, Mommy, no. Let Efia do it. But when she does it, very nice. And I said, woo. I was supposed to spend an hour there, but I spent 2 hours.
Wow.
Just to talk to my friend. Mm. I said, hey. But she didn't know till I started advising her. And then she said, hey, Akumambo. You know, it's a big disgrace. So that when even they take their drink to the school, who did it? Oh, I have something for me. Mm-hmm. Please, hey, mommy prepared it for us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Common orange juice.
It'll be your kids.
Know.
Okay. It'll really be your kids that throw you under the bus.
Honestly.
Sorry, Akuma, sorry, before you continue, the funny thing about children is, so I used to make Milo for Kekeli, my son, and he would always say that I want mommy to make it, because when anybody else makes it, it doesn't taste the same. So one day I made it and I gave it to someone to give to him. The fact that I didn't give it to him, he said it's not mommy who made it.
Yeah, my neighbor.
So then sometimes it's not even about the taste, and that's the point I'm trying to make. It's not about the taste even, but sometimes I think kids just want their mommy. Like, I want to know that it's
mom. And like you were saying, maybe it's been a while their mom made it. And sometimes maybe she's away, but the mom made it and gave it to the nanny to give it to her. Yeah. And it's the nanny who made it, right? So what Ekuma is saying is that it's, even though women are busy today, it's important to be present in the life of your kids for the most important things. And I feel like sometimes even spending time in activity with your kids, it may be you just being in the kitchen with your son and your daughter, just that bonding time and finding things to do as a family. For me, growing up, one of my favorite memories of my parents is my mom insisting that every Sunday we need to sit down as a family to eat.
Okay.
You can do anything you want every Sunday, even when we're in the boarding house, we'll come home on the weekends and we will sit down as a family. Even now, every time I go visit, the same thing. My sister lives out of the home. She'll come home on Sunday to have dinner.
That's important.
Yes.
I mean, we shouldn't use the dining table as a decorative piece in your home.
It children will tell you.
For what it is.
Yeah.
Which means as
Mommy
a family, that also helps you as a family to sit together every day and have a discussion. How was your day? Doesn't take that long to have dinner.
Yeah.
So,
all right. So let's go back to the dressing. Yeah. Akuma, you are about to get into the way we dress.
Yes. I'm saying these days the way we dress is something else. It's 30% Ghanaian and there's 70% foreign.
Ooh. Do you want to elaborate on the 30% Ghanaian? Is the print?
I was expecting to see Ghana man. I mean, every office, every day. We should have a local dressing, a little beef. You don't want much. Just one on your neck, two on your waist, you know. And then there's native sandals. They are in my. It's beautiful. All right. If you have the bank, they say you should put on heels. We are in Ghana, man. We should allow our ladies to be in the native sandals, which is a hinema, because it's Ghana, man. Out of 12 months, we only take one to be Ghanaian, you know. To let people know where we are coming from. Mm-hmm. So let's try our possible best to do it.
Yeah.
Because soon the body is becoming something else. Yes, and they will look at it. Oh, yeah, nice. So, but at the back of their mind, they'll not marry you. Yeah. They'll take the heat out of you. And then that's where your heart will get broken when they go for somebody who has really covered herself and is sexy.
I totally
take
agree.
The heat out of you.
Yeah. We're not about to get into that.
I want me to celebrate with that's what I meant.
We figured that's what you meant.
Heat out of you. If you want me to go straight, you know.
Go left and go right. We beg you. No, but seriously though, I mean, there's a way that we used to dress.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember my mom, I remember growing up, it was always like either the caban slit or, you know, some sort of skirt suit, which is always kind of below the knee, or the booboos and stuff. Mm-hmm. Right now, we're just wild.
So the booboo is seen as rich auntie, by the way.
Yeah. I mean, right now, the booboo is seen as rich
auntie. Rich auntie.
Back then, like the Dumas, batik, you know, booboos, that was kind of like...
But let's just go back to our traditional engagement. Ceremonies. Do you have the traditional Ashanti woman who wear the dancing crown? Now you don't have
You realize that, please?
Yeah.
Sorry, what did you say?
The booboos are slated. You be going and your legs will show up to your thigh.
Yes, I have one of
that
those. I have one.
I hear you. It's beautiful.
was like, it's a new, it's a style. It's like, okay, I'm wearing something very long, but when I walk,
ooh,
flash
giving.
Of skin, you know, yeah, which is a new thing, yeah.
It's sexy and romantic. But I'm saying, as a Ghanaian woman, Ghanaian real woman, that you have your slit and cover, tapebi, you know, gorgeously with some beads, and then if it's a slippers or this native sandals, or tuwabasa, beautifully, you know, your brassiere has jet your breast nicely. We know these days, yeah, but pile away musa and everything is showing.
Yeah.
You know, when you wear something like a maxi and you have enough body and you are moving, the body moves in the dress. So the guy wants to see, let me go anybody to say. Oh, he wants to see. But now we show everything. Especially those that these days they've gone to care more. They don't wear loose dresses anymore. Very tight.
Have to give.
Yeah.
You know, it's not getting. We're not brought up like that.
It's true. But I'm asking you guys, do you think that the perception of beauty has changed?
Absolutely.
Because you know how if you saw Kaba style the way that it was in the 80s, in the 80s it was beautiful. You know, a woman who's completely covered up in her Kaba and slit, you know, a very small slit somewhere, her big beads, you know,
now
and
you
all
put,
of that.
Is the extra one that they put here?
The third piece. But that was beautiful. But right now, if you dress like that,
I don't even own that. So
I have only one Kaba and slit, and it's an Eyin Tuma.
Ella,
yeah, but even that.
Ella, let me meet you and give you GTP.
Thank you. Okay. I would gladly collect.
Yeah, but then even the GTP. I mean, right now the way that we sew our things are very.
That's how we are sewing these days, eh?
Yeah, I mean, so I most of the things are corseted. You know,
that's what she was saying about the wedding. I mean, back in the day, you dress traditionally, do you? Now corsets.
They would have like, all the.
They would tie you.
Yeah. And you can't breathe.
And literally, it just feels like
some
your boobs are there. Because you can't.
Some are fainting. Yes.
Because they are pregnant about two or three months, and they will tie them. By the time she realized, oh, that pregnancy is gone.
Wow.
Like, yes, I'm telling the gospel truth. I was a master of ceremony for a lot of weddings and traditional weddings, and it happened. Yeah. Even though so they can take beautifully, but then they will have to tie it so much so that, oh, Jesus.
Because
you have that the African come
in that
you
position.
With a kente.
Yes.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
Square neck, you know, sleeveless, and the zip is at the back. Oh, so beautiful. Now they'll have to tie all your tummy tuck in. You can't breathe. Your breast is almost coming out. And oh boy.
Let's go back and yeah, no, but what she's describing is exactly what we see
every day,
all the time, you know, weddings, going out, you know, really short clothes, really revealing.
Yeah. But like you were saying, like, has the definition
of beauty has changed.
Absolutely.
Yes.
It has changed, and now we're even confused as to what is beauty.
It's beautiful and what isn't anymore.
What isn't. But then the irony is that the people who claim that, because there's always this debate of if somebody does something to their body, is it, people say, oh, maybe it's for self-confidence, and people say, oh, it's for men. You know, there's always that beauty. But then I feel like one of the things that is important is feeling beautiful by yourself. Like, what do you, because at the end of the day, it's your life.
But you see, the way that you feel about your beauty is dependent on what society has defined beauty as.
But then again, it's your life. You understand? So if you want to keep going by what society is, so society say the standard is this, then that's where you're going to go. And that's why, that's what is happening actually in reality, because society is not saying, okay, you need to have some ass, okay? So now
stomach.
People are moving fat. Instead of taking it out, you're putting it elsewhere. Make that make sense. And now you have
it makes a lot of sense. 2 days ago I was like, if I could move the fat from my stomach to other places, my
like
God.
Where like where would you put it?
It would be
it would be fantastic. And you will not be wearing a boo-boo anymore. You'll be giving us
you know what has happened now. Outside gentility home quiet.
Sorry,
my breath is nice on you, but you're suffering.
Exactly.
Yes, so I want to say this just to add to what you said. Until you value yourself,
yeah,
no one else is going to value you.
Exactly.
So
the prize is what you say it is.
Yeah.
So if you say I'm a one, girl, you're a one, and like people will say you are who you say you are.
You are.
And sometimes you are not giving, but if you say it,
then
is who you are. That is what we would come to accept it to be. That's what it's all about, like brands and the tagline. They'll say, oh, we're the best in this. Meanwhile, it's not given.
Yeah.
Everywhere you go, but sometimes it's not given, but that's what they say. So it's all about the value you place on yourself.
Self.
And you carry yourself like that. That's what people say. I like how this person carries themselves.
Yeah.
So if you, and I've said this, like these days, some people, their brand is all about...
Mm-hmm.
And that's it. So I'm looking at you and I'm thinking,
sorry, it's all about,
it's giving the boobs and it's giving the behind.
So
and you and I know that
radio,
you know that you and I stay in the gym, so we are,
yeah,
it's overload.
It's an industry.
We need to have a whole conversation about, but back to the Ghanaian woman, right?
Yeah.
So the dressing, it's a personal, and what is your personal style as well.
Mm-hmm.
And if you ask men,
mm-hmm,
and like she's saying, the truth is, yes, you give, show people boobs and you show ass to them, that's if we want to hold it and squeeze it, but after that, what else?
Who else? Yeah.
99% of the time, when those people go to pick wives, and we're in the era where the men are the ones who get to pick, trust me, he will take the heat out of you, but he will go and find some lady that wears a boo-boo.
Yeah.
And
thank
put
you
that ring
that's
on
what
it.
I was saying.
Yes, because he's protecting what, yeah, he's cherished, what he cherished.
But then another thing I'm also seeing now is how even children are dressing.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yes.
You will go to, you'll be like, why would you let your child get out of the house?
Well, you're missing the fact that the kids don't look like kids anymore.
Yeah,
true.
No,
you'll see a 15-year-old that looks like she's...
Because
39.
She's in hot pants and miniskirts, and you're like, is this an adult or a kid?
They look dressed. They even take you to church, though.
Yep.
Yes.
They take you to church. And I look at them and say, hey, what's happening here?
The heels that, Sunday school
dress?
Children are wearing these days. The heels that Sunday school children are wearing these days.
Mm.
The heels that youth, baby youths are wearing these days. You and I cannot stand on it.
Wow.
But is that because their mothers are teaching them to dress like that, or is it their choice?
But you see, then that comes to how you're raising your kids. Because,
but then it's also the fact that social media is raising our children.
100%.
If you're not actively raising your children, yeah, then
social media will.
TikTok,
because
TikTok is raising them.
Yeah.
I mean, so obviously.
And who is going to pay for the shoe, you or me? So I'm taking you to shop. Back in the day, and I will never forget, they're like, no, you're going to take this size of heel, and that's all you're going to get. Because your children, who's buying who's shopping for them? You are.
This is also a different conversation for another day. But also,
you
some
see,
mothers
it's a foundation you give to our children.
For their children.
Yeah.
When your
yeah.
kids
so
go to school and they
happen.
See their friends wearing those dresses, tell them, hey, I cannot afford for you now. Finish your education. When you start working, you can dress that way. But for now, I am looking up for you. So this is what I can afford. You see, so the foundation should come from home, from dad and mom. Don't make up your mind because you suffered. You don't want your kids to go through that early. So everything they need, you provide to them. You let them live the bushia, big short life. And what of tomorrow if you are not there? I know a home now in Ghana. When the child needs something, oh, go into my drawer, the world is down there, open this money, take some. So such a person, he or she will not grow and then say, I'm taking my money to the bank. No. She knew the parents keep running in their wardrobes. Okay. And it's a bad foundation.
Right.
And then they give them a lot of money. Look at the phones they take to school. They are there, and then a big car will go and pick them. And then when the poor one is walking home, you know, it's good training.
Can I say something?
Yes, we suffered. But let them also pass me the meal. If yours was 2,000% hardship, let the kid pass through only 100% hardship.
Yeah.
Right, okay.
But then you know, there's not everyday rules.
There's competition as well.
If you like, let the producer, this coming Sunday, go out and look at the dresses the children are wearing to church. To party.
Yeah.
To their friend's house.
It's quite hectic.
And then let's do part two of this.
Today's
food.
Yeah,
yeah. Come back after homework.
Yeah. What did you want to say, Francis?
Competition.
Mm.
So many. I'm not going to put a number to it, but so many women are competing with their friends now. So if your daughter comes home and says, well, Fran came to school today in a pair of Dior shoes,
whatever,
you want to try and do the same thing for your child, right? So you go above and beyond for that child and not teach the child, listen, you're not competing with so and so, you're not competing with Fran, so I'm going to give you what I'm going to give you, and you should be content.
Yeah,
we don't have that anymore.
Yeah, that's true. Because back then, you know, I think one thing that was so significant about the Ghanaian woman back in the day is how they laid down the rules. Like, some of us were raised by some of the strongest women I know. Like,
laying down the rules. And the most painful thing is when you mm-hmm. as a child, you have gathered vim and courage to ask your mother why. Mm-hmm. And she gathers herself and she says, because I said so.
Yes.
Like, you don't have a better reason than,
and you know,
because I said so.
Yeah,
and because you said so. Saying,
because I said so. And you know, these days where kids will be like, "Oh, mommy, this, I was going to ask daddy," and daddy will say, "Oh, yeah, no." Mm. And so,
daddy is afraid.
Daddy is even afraid to counter mommy, because in this household, mommy lays down the rules.
Yeah.
If mommy says that you're not going, you're not going.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you need, and back in the days before you go out, you need to do all your chores. In fact, you might do your chores in advance.
My mother used to be, tell me 2 weeks advance. Exactly. You can't come to my mother the day before and say I'm going to a party. Who's house?
Party?
Not my house.
You don't pound the fufu, you eat the cassava with the soup.
Yeah.
Nobody is pounding.
You eat the cassava like that.
Wow.
Yes.
Let me give you what happened to me when I was going. I was cooking food for my daddy and a friend came to. Hello? Am I on?
Yes, you are. Go ahead, please.
Okay. I was cooking for my dad and a friend came to visit me. And then the food was on. And then the person said she was leaving. So I decided to go and see the person off. My daddy was expecting me to still see the person off at the gate. Do you know, I passed the gate and went about 10 minutes and I came back. When I came back, my daddy called me. Come. He said, go to the hall and pick something for me. When I entered, he also entered. Then he closed the door. Hey, who taught you this? Do you think it's a bad money that you are cooking for your father and a friend comes? You don't even have to leave the food. Tell the person, okay, I'm busy cooking, so just go. But that's for you. You pass the gate and wait 10 minutes you are coming. The day, that evening, I couldn't sit on a chair. I was screaming. Hey, let's sit on my bottles.
Wow, I have a...
You understand?
I just remember.
Yeah. I mean, that sounds very familiar.
I still remember them.
I just had a flashback.
Yeah, that sounds... I think we all have a
that
story
experience.
Like that. Yeah.
And these days, one of the trending things is gentle parenting and the other kind of parenting.
And
right?
The parents are actually talking to you. They're not telling you off. So they're having a discussion with you.
Yeah.
Why?
You are trying to have a discussion with my mother.
No, but you see, the thing is that as much as, you know, our culture was very... because I say so and because I do this, the flip side of that is that some of the parents ended up raising children who cannot think.
Yep,
so
true.
Then there was a whole chew and poor generation who
absolutely
don't know why they are doing the things they are doing because we're very insistent on having our way. So I think it's about finding the balance between, in the moment, it's because I said so do it.
Mm-hmm.
But then finding the time after that to explain why it should be done this way so that you're raising human beings who can think so that we can solve like the doom solve situation that's going on now. Which is not actually doom solved because we're not acknowledging it. Which, of course, is just indicative of the kind of culture that we have where we kind of accept whatever we're told, even when it doesn't make sense. And I'm not trying to make this a political conversation, but so many times you have these interviews with some of these politicians and stuff, and the reasons that they are giving you for some of the things that are happening don't make sense.
Yeah.
But then we can't say anything. It's like, okay, this is all that they are saying, and this is it.
Yeah, they just insult our intelligence all day long.
Exactly, and sometimes I feel like that stems from that culture of...
Absolutely.
I'm telling you what I want to do, you know. And anyway, we don't have a lot of time, but something I wanted to talk about.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you guys, do you think that we don't place a premium on being Ghanaian women anymore because of the extent of the cultural breakdown across board? Because I'm thinking, you forget the value of a Ghanaian woman. Mm. Let's even have a conversation about the value of the Ghanaian.
Yeah.
Are you proud to be Ghanaian?
Mm-hmm.
What is the value in being
now,
you know, a Ghanaian, like standing anywhere in the world and saying, oh, I'm a Ghanaian, like what is the...
So in the West, for instance, being African, anyone who went to the West in the 90s knows that being African, you're just known for your big lips and you're the boo-boo, you know, African boo-boo. That's all they know. Oh, you're living on, you're living in trees. Yeah. But now Ghana's on the map. Everyone knows where Ghana is.
Yeah.
Because very few people say Guyana. And exactly. And Guyana and Ghana. Now you know Ghana is Ghana.
Yeah.
And so, yes. It's now very trendy to be African, even if you have that this much.
Dirty December. Yes,
that's all people know.
Yeah, but for the good things.
Well,
I mean, how about the really good things? Not just dirty December.
Well, I mean,
not
they talk about the safety as well.
Of chilling. Yeah. But in terms of economic growth, in terms of
now, my answer value, will be no. Because
what's the value of your passport, for example?
Oh, that's
because
no
sometimes
value.
You know, you are you. I had a conversation with a group of guys over December who were like young men, and was like, oh, you know, so are you guys gonna, you know, want to come back and marry Ghanaian women and stuff? And they're like, yeah, I'll marry a Ghanaian woman if she has a UK passport,
because you know, they don't want to go through the, you know, headache.
If, you know, if she, because we haven't done, sometimes it feels like we haven't done much as a country.
Oh, yeah.
To raise.
I mean, that's an entirely different conversation.
No, but
then
it's actually the bedrock of this conversation, because how do you value yourself as a Ghanaian woman?
So for me, I would say not so much, looking at back then and now, because it's just been going down the drain from here. Because
do you want to justify it?
Corruption. No. you and now we're coming into the news for some of the weirdest stuff, and now because of social media, a lot of things is amplified. So something happens in Ghana, a Ghanaian gets caught for fraud, it's on the internet, it's on X, we're discussing it, it's number one topic, and then I have to go somewhere and say I'm Ghanaian. No, I am.
Yeah, what?
I don't know. I was just speaking French and identify as something else, right?
I would add to that. So in the UK, when a Ghanaian born gets into trouble, and even though your passport says British passport, they were starts with Ghanaian-born Darren. It's never, you know, British nothing. But then when you're doing so well, the British Ghanaian, right? So the narrative, the
stories, and so I feel like if this is why we're having this conversation, then we as a collective, as a nation, we need to be doing better. Look at how abysmal the performance was at the AFCON. Look at this All-African Games that's been happening. It's terrible. So for now,
I read somewhere that the gate fees had been scrapped. Is that true?
Kind of, sort of, for the games. But all these things, and I'm saying, the first we could hide under these things. I mean, when I traveled fresh back in the days, I was proud to be a Ghanaian. And you go like, oh, Abedi Pele, oh, yeah, Samuel John, all of these, Michael Lacy, and now it's giving Aja for real.
Okay. I don't know
what else. Wow, Aram. You don't have my name, so.
Oh, my Lord.
Yeah.
Wow. I think we need to observe a minute silence for the shots that have been fired. Yeah, I mean, but I get what you're saying. We're not known for the good stuff anymore.
No,
We're known for Dirty December. Oh, I know Ghana. I'm going to Ghana in December. That's
basically.
That exists in December.
Yeah.
So I think now we'll just be like the party nation. I think that is one thing that we do fantastic for now.
I mean, they help the economy. So.
And all of that. Anyways, Akuma, just your closing statements. We're running out of time. So just.
Okay. For me, anywhere I go, I lift up the flag of Ghana. My dressing will tell you. Whatever I do, because we all have our names. All right? So they ask me, where do you come from? Why is there so many beats on you? Why are you doing this headgear? Why are you doing that? So, me, I don't care what anything somebody do and it's a bad for. I mean, if you're going to go up there to fool with your own cup of tea, it doesn't mean I should hide my identity. No, I don't at all. I always raise the flag to give glory to where I come from. Okay? But all the same, and there's a thing that we're feeding the tank of Tenachi. It is good for women to be working now. It is okay for us to know our rights. But we shouldn't forget our culture. We should give our children a great foundation, let them know where they're coming from. Really? If you're in the US, wherever in the world, make sure your local dialect is speak with your children. It's so important. When you go to India, they speak their languages. They don't speak English. They will speak their language, so somebody translates it. So let's be proud of where we are coming from. Hmm. Okay?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's all I have to say.
I remember...
I was supposed to give to the men.
Yeah, I remember I always used to ask my dad why I didn't have an English name.
Yeah.
Because, you know, I was growing up and so many people had English names. Both of you have English names, actually. You have an English name. You have a French name, presumably.
French and an L. I have all the names.
Yeah, you know, but my dad just kept mine very Ghanaian. And at some point growing up, I kind of wanted an English, because everybody has an English name. Yeah. He was like, no, you know, I want your name to be, you know, very, I don't know necessarily the value of it. You know, but I do get, you know, the cultural
connotation.
Connotation. So if you have kids, will you go strictly Ghanaian or will you blend? I think I'll also blend
Just to have that reminder of, to give them that essence of who they are. So yeah,
and I think I would encourage them to use that name in school.
The Ghanaian name.
Because when I saw people couldn't pronounce Aram. Ayi, Yiyi, Ey, what is that? But then if you had a name like Nana something, people love Nana, so
yeah, people, yeah. Mm-hmm.
People,
yeah.
Definitely love,
yeah, I'll definitely Nana. Encourage it to, the name to use in school.
Nana.
Nana.
Yeah. And there's Oye and Ajwa.
I mean, there's a way
Abna.
Yeah.
Look at the way she said it. Abna.
Enemwa.
I had an ex-boyfriend. He's called Enemwa.
Enemwa. I just called you that. Enemwa.
Yes, it was very nice. Yeah. I said Enemwa.
Like, my name is Erama.
What did you say?
I was asking, was it Ghanaian? That you didn't mention your name.
No, he was British, isn't
it? Yeah.
Okay, British. Yeah. Okay.
Nemoa, innit?
Nemoa.
So it's very nice.
Yeah.
Oh,
so finding over here. All right then. Closing words from you guys. 30 seconds.
A Ghanaian woman also always, most of the time, is always a please and thank you. It's something that I love that we were raised with. I remember there was a particular time in my life where my auntie was raising me, always says, when you say something and you don't ask, come back. Say please and thank you. And yeah, that was very profound.
Please and thank you is amazing. It's very
please
simple,
and thank
it's
you.
It's
something that a lot of people know Ghanaians for. Like, they always say, they always say please and thank you.
They insult you after that. Yeah,
respectfully.
Yeah. Francis, your final.
A Ghanaian woman is friendly.
Yeah, we're quite friendly, aren't we?
Very.
Yeah, until
even if they don't like you, they'll smile in your face, and then that's the end of it. So it's a fake smile, but it's okay. Showing your teeth.
Because we're very known for our hospitality.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
But then I feel like we're more
very
hospitable
welcoming
to foreigners than we are to each other.
We respect foreigners more, but that's a different conversation another day.
Yeah, that's a different conversation. Anyways, all right.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Aram and Francis, for joining us. It's Ghana Month, so we're going to have Ghanaian conversations and see how that goes. But a big thank you to the team, Abeku, Mirabel, Crispy, Lexis, who produced us today. My name is Enima Enimado. We'll be back next week. If you missed any part of the show, you can go watch it on Facebook. And there's football coming up. I don't know who is playing, but yeah. Did I say thank you, executive?